Hello, and welcome to the Matthew Clark Interviews podcast, where we sit down with the industry's key figures. Today, we're talking to Davide Champion, sales manager at Sella & Mosca Winery. Based in Sardinia, the team at Sella & Mosca produce wines with an unmistakable personality and have done so for over a century. Thank you so much for being here today, Davide. How are you finding London?
Thank you for inviting me, by the way, first of all. I'm pretty good. I feel very, very comfortable. Thank you.
Good, good. So, the range of Sella & Mosca wines, they're relatively new to our range. Could you give us a quick overview of Sella & Mosca for those unfamiliar with the winery?
Yes, sure, of course. Sella & Mosca, obviously, for the people who actually do not know that much about Sella & Mosca, is considered one of the most prestigious winery in our country. And obviously, I usually like to say that for many reasons, Sella & Mosca is the leader of Sardinia region. Mm-hmm. And quickly explaining a little bit about the dimension, about the history of Sella & Mosca. Let's say, firstly, that the winery was established in 1899, so we have a long story, over than 100 years. And then for talking about the dimension of the winery, Sella & Mosca is over than 600 hectares under vine, and obviously we take care of all the typical indigenous varietal of the Sardinia region, because first of all we have to be focused on the typical grapes of the Sardinia. But there is an interesting story behind the Sella & Mosca, and that's the reason also why we cultivate with the great results a lot of international varieties. So over than 600 hectares, where Sella & Mosca is based. It's based in Alghero. It's one of the, you know, one of the wine area of the region, even if you can have many different area production in Sardinia by the coast or the internal part. Anyway, Sella & Mosca is in Alghero, just behind the city, like 10 kilometers behind the city, in the internal part, in a specific place called Località I Piani. That's where the headquarters is, the majority of our vineyards are, and if you want, we can include a lot, some more other areas in the wine scenario of the region. One is in Gallura, and the other one is the deep south of the island, which is Carignano de Sources. So basically, I would say a big company, long history, and one of the most prestigious brand in the Italian scenario. Mm-hmm. We have to take care of the typical grapes of the island, and to be really representative of the region.
Yeah. So you said very, very long history. I understand there's also something of an Egyptian connection.
Well, actually, it's not really related to Sella & Mosca only, but it's very clear. It's very simple to understand. You know, when you take a look at the map of the Mediterranean area, you see that Sardinia is right in the middle of the Mediterranean. So I usually takes advantage of the very, very long time ago history to explain and to go to the final situation, which is the grapes cultivated in Sardinia. There is something related to the Phoenicians area, because everybody wanted to dominate Sardinia since the Phoenicians time, and that was right in the middle of the trade routes from the Phoenician first, the Greek, the Romans, and the Catalan, that, by the way, dominated the Sardinia region, and specifically Alghero area, for over than 400 years, between the 14th and the 18th century. So right through this route from the Phoenician origins, Sardinia was really, really, you know, interested by a lot of domination, and everybody was fighting to head at that point right in the center of the Mediterranean. So we have a long story in the island, and obviously in Alghero, and finally also in Sella & Mosca.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that this isn't the only history celebrated at Sella & Mosca either, because you have a museum on site.
Correct. We have a museum. We have a lot of things showing the environment that surrounded the winery also, because one of our main tasks is to be to really respect the environment, really respect the history of the island and of the place where we are, and that's why in Sella & Mosca there is a great museum that shows all the different passages in the time, from the Phoenician origins to the Let's mention the most important period, which is the Nuragic period. That's why we actually found also in Selemoska, very close to into the Selemoska estate, a Nuragic necropolis. And that's why the museum tried to show to all the people coming to visit us the different ages and so the different cultures that influenced not only Selemoska, but obviously all the Sardinia region. So really, really interesting, with a lot of tools, found out during refurbishment working, or any kind of necropolis, for instance. But many things. So this museum is really, really interesting and full of these traces of the past.
Mm-hmm. And because the winery has been founded over a century ago, so many years ago. What do you think was, or what was the original goal and philosophy that drove the winemaking, really, and has that changed over the years?
Thank you for asking that, because it's really, really interesting to share, because basically people automatically think that Selemoska was started as a winery since the beginning, but it's not true. Actually, the first activity in the winery was the nursery growing. So we were just the post-Filosera period, and it was the end of the 19th century, where the majority of the European areas, production areas, were destroyed by the Filosera. For not really well-known reason, that specific part of the Sardinia that was attacked as well by the Filosera, but not the Selemoska area, not where Selemoska is based. These two founders, these two businessmen, that, by the way, another funny story, they are not original from Sardinia. They came down from Piedmont, Sella and Mosca. Mr. Sella, he was an engineer, and Mr. Mosca was a lawyer, so that's why we have Selemoska as our brand. It takes from the founders. They came down, and they found out that this specific 600 hectares slot was not attacked. And they say, let's start this activity of nursery growing, and let's sell over Europe all the vines and all the clones we want to experiment. We have some traces in all the books we found in the winery that at a certain point these experiments went through over than 1,000 different kind of grape. Meantime, they were, let's say, experimenting as well the vinification. But at the end of the story, in the late 60s, they stopped actually with the nursery growing activity, and Selemoska became 100% a winery production estate. Mm-hmm. So it didn't start as winery, but it became after 60 years.
Yeah.
That's a little bit the origins.
Yeah, wow, that's quite a different story, actually.
Definitely a different story for, the oldest established winery mm-hmm. you basically get in touch in Italy.
Yeah, so you are based on beautiful island of Sardinia. Now, I gather that protecting the local environment and ecosystem must be very important to the winery. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. Yes, it's true. It's very, very important. It has to be very, very important for Selemoska. What we are assisting in the overall Italian production area, there is a lot of attention to the environment, and that's exactly how it's changing basically the philosophy in producing wine all over the country. And of course Selemoska has to be part of this new project, or this new different approach. We basically talk every day about biological wine, biodynamical wine, or whatever. Everything starts from the environment, everything starts from the soil. You have to treat the soil properly. So to respect the environment, that's automatic to switch from a traditional way in cultivating your vineyards to a biological way, to really take care of the environment, respecting the soil. The big news that we have been working for the last 2 years in the biological conversion of our total vineyards, which is a huge and demanding work, because there is no another example of a winery that is converting over than 600 hectares under vine in the biological system. So 100% concentrated and focused on the environment of Selemoska, in trying to be as much natural as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. So it's really only respecting the soil and really looking after where you are then.
Definitely, yeah. Yes.
So, could you talk a little bit more about the vineyards themselves then, the terroir as well, and if there's any challenges in the terroir?
Well, it's not difficult to cultivate vineyards in Sardinia, basically on an island, generally speaking, because the weather condition is very, very tough. Weather condition means typically dry, typically super hot, and typically windy. And so it's not easy to reach the right peak of the ripeness of the grape, as also because we have a lot of risk of overripeness thanks to the weather condition, especially when you know, during the worst summer season, you can reach even like 40, 42 degrees. And so it's really demanding to take care of vineyards, especially when you are by the coast, because windy and super hot temperature does not really help the cultivation of the vineyards. Anyway, talking a little bit about the soil and about the typical soil of that slot of the region, it originally, as the majority of the wine areas, was covered by the sea. So you have to imagine a long sedimentation of the sea. And what we can find, if you take a look at the stratification of the soil in Alghero, which is really close to the coast, is a lot of sand. So I would say 60% is a sandy soil. We have a great traces of clay and a little bit of limestone as well. But basically, we can say definitely 60% is a sandy soil. What is really, really interesting, there is a lot of sandy stones, especially in that part of the island. I'm do apologies, I don't actually know the translation in English, but trachite e arenarie, they are the typical sandy soils that you find. But a lot of during the, you know, the refurbishment and the renovation of the vineyards, you go just 1 meter down, 1 meter and a half down, you find a lot of stones. It's a funny story, because we built up a huge wall right in the middle of the vineyards. It's like our panoramic view. You have the overview of the entire properties, and the wall was built up with all the stones we found in the couple of hectares surrounding the wall. Wow. Just, you know, to let people and to have an idea of how much is the composition of these sandy stones in the terroir. Yeah. Basically sandy, anyway.
Fair enough. So, just about the wines a little bit then. I was reading that you're trying to bring an ancient grape called Turbato back into public consciousness. Could you tell us a little bit about that grape?
Yes, of course. So, Turbato is a really, really ancient grape. So, as we said before, all the grapes, it's like you have to consider, if you want to consider in a funny way, they move up and down in the Mediterranean, and at the end, they finally found the great terroir to feed that was partly in the Spain coast, part in the south of France, and Sardinia as well. I'm talking about the Vermentino, the Turbato, and the Canonao, that respectively are called Vermentino, Turbato, Canonao in Sardinia, or Malvoisois de Rossignol, or the Gros Grain en France, and Garnacha and Alicante in Spain. The Turbato comes from Torbat, and originally again is from Spain. Was cultivated. It has been cultivated for a long time in Sardinia, and it definitely became an ancient indigenous grape of the island. All the other producers, they abandoned the Turbato because it's very, 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 very difficult to cultivate for a very technical, simple reason. I mean, harvest. The Turbato has a very, very long vegetative cycle. So it's not like the other white grapes, white varietal. I mean, that at the end of August, beginning of September, they are ready for the harvest, so the right ripeness. The Turbato needs to stay on the plant until the end of September, more or less. But, you know, this can, you know, causes also a risk of overripeness. So you have to be very, very careful, first of all. When you bring the Turbato in your cellar, you have definitely to vinify the wines, and you discover the Turbato. It's so difficult to clarify, obtain the classic white color of Turbato. So a lot of clarification, because There is a technical chemical reason. There is a lot of pectin inside the, you know, the skin of the of this wine. So clarification is so tough, so hard. You can imagine most of the Sardinian producers, and they, you know, in 1 second they say at a certain point the Turbato, you know, something too demanding, too difficult. We're gonna replace with the Vermentino. Selemosca had the right quantity of vineyards to continue the experiments on Turbato, and also was the richest company in the area. And they say, no, we have to preserve the grape. We definitely have to keep going with the grape. That's why, starting from the beginning of the 70s, Turbato was cultivated exclusively in Selemosca, and that's why we are so proud to say that we keep going with this ancient grape that otherwise would have been disappeared, you know.
Yeah, so because we stock the Turbato di Alghero Terra Bianchi, how would you describe this wine as a finished product?
Well, first of all, you stock the Terre Bianche, Turbato. Terre Bianche in Italian means white land. And so let's say firstly that the Turbato fits very well where there is a great presence of calcareous mud in the soil. So, not specifically the, you know, the slot with a lot of clay, limestone or sandy, but we found out that where the calcareous is present in a high quantity, the Turbato grows very, very, very well. And we decided to give the name Terre Bianche from the white land, where the characteristic is the color of the calcareous marl. Really, really interesting in terms of elegance and delicateness of the wine, final result in the glass, which is completely, and it's interesting, completely different from the Vermentino. Because Vermentino is such an interesting and intense notes of fruit, immediately from the nose to the mouth. The Turbato is more mineral and flower, and then you really appreciate also some citrus notes. They are not really present in the Vermentino. So the final taste, I would say, an elegant mineral and floral wines with a lot of alternatives in terms of pairing. So I would describe as a versatile wine compared to the Vermentino.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the Vermentino. Now Sardinia is very well known for Vermentino. What is it about this grape that makes it so suited to Sardinia?
Vermentino, again, it's the majority of the production of the island. Even if you have a great cultivation of Vermentino by the Liguria coast, Tuscany coast, but we can easily say that the 75% of the total Vermentino production in our country is in Sardinia. So it's easy to understand that finally the Vermentino fits very, very well in the island. And we do have in our range, obviously, the Vermentino di Sardegna denomination. That means also, as for the regulamentation, but the regulamentation came later, later of the grape. The Vermentino di Sardegna, we can see that fits very well all over the island from north to south, because that's a kind of white varietal that is resistant to the weather conditions, so to the wind and to the super dry and hot temperature. So at the end, that's why the 70% of the overall production of Vermentino is in Sardinia, with great result and for this grape.
Mm-hmm. Now, besides these whites, we also stock the Reserva wines. Could you tell us a little bit more about these wines?
Yeah, you saw the Reserva, Canonau, the Sardegna Reserva, that obviously is one of the top products of Selemosca. And you also saw the Carignano del Sulcis Reserva. So Canonau could be cultivated and produced all over the island, so including Alghero, where we are based. And you may have a couple of denominations, the classic Canonau di Sardegna and the Canonau di Sardegna Riserva. Riserva for Canonau means a minimum period of aging of 2 years, of which 6 months at least in wood. But at the end of this period, between wood and bottles, you can release your Riserva Canonau. So total of 2 years. For the Carignano del Sulci, which is a specific denomination for the Carignano grape, only in the Sulcis area, which is southwest of the island, in front of Sant'Antioco Island, another beautiful location of Sardinia, Carignano del Sulcis could be classic one. It could be Reserva as well. You stock the Reserva. In this case, the reglementation is a little bit less strict than the Canon Apra, because after 6 months you can release your Carignano Reserva. Then, you know, you start from the rules, but then you have your production philosophy. And in Selle Mosca, we believe that Carignano, if the Carignano Reserva stays at least 1 year in small cast, in this case barrique, final results is it's good, so we are really happy. So we basically age the Carignano for at least 1 year as well. Mm-hmm. And this is more or less in few words the Reserva meaning of our Canonal and Carignano.
Yeah. Now we also have two wines from grapes grown in Alghero. They're primarily Cabernet Sauvignon. Could you tell us a little bit about these wines?
I guess this is the most fascinating story related to Selle Mosca and to Sardinia, because the first question, also for the people not really familiar with you know, the composition of the different terroir and the grapes cultivated in the island, said, why you cultivated Cabernet Sauvignon in Sardinia? And I have to tell you something, at the moment, the most important wine from Selle Mosca, the flagship of the company, is a 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. So we go definitely outside the classic grapes and the classic range of a typical Sardinian winery. Again, everything started that we shared before from the experiments of the founders about the nursery growing, and at the end the Cabernet Sauvignon fit very well in Sardinia as well. And so during the years we produced such a good Cabernet Sauvignon that we decided to add. We have to say something, sorry, I don't want to be misunderstood. We started in the late 80s, so cultivation since the beginning of Cabernet Sauvignon. The production of the releasing of a bottle of 100% Cabernet Sauvignon was in the late 80s. So we cannot say that we have been producing Cabernet Sauvignon since the beginning. But the experiments, you know, they went go since the end of the last century. So we released for the first time this Cabernet Sauvignon that fits very, very well in the island, and it became the flagship of the company. The wine is called Marchese di Villa Marina, and awarded several times with over the 90 points in the National Guide, plus the 3 glasses on Gambero Rosso in the last 20 years, I guess 18 times. But what is really, 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 really interesting to see, that's it's completely different cab that you expect from other cab produced in Italy as well. So it's among the top expression of Cabernet with the island influences.
Yeah.
So it's salty and herbaceous as the other classic wine from the island. So really, really, really unique.
Yeah, should all try it, shouldn't we?
Definitely, I would
suggest. Just to finish, what do you think will be the future for yourself as well as Selle Mosca?
Well, as you can imagine, my passion in talking about the winery, I'm totally involved in this project. I've been working for 1 year and a half. I guess Selle Mosca has to continue the preservation of indigenous grape, and has to be the real and the most important face and picture of the Sardinia, because Selle Mosca means Sardinia. We are considered for, in certain way, the leader of the region, so we have to be the leader also for the other producers, and we have definitely to be involved more and more in helping Canonau, Vermentino, Turbato, all the typical grapes, to spread out all over the world and to demonstrate and to share with our customers all over the world the experience of the typicity of our terroir,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty unique.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great note to finish on. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much to you.
It's been great to talk to you.
To find out more about Selle Mosca, visit the Matthew Clark website or speak to your account manager. And join us next time when we will be chatting to José Luis and Laura, owners and winemakers of Casa Rojo.